Hey guys, we know you like to listen to our podcasts and reviews. We know generally that you like to listen to stuff. How about listening to stuff on Audible?
Well, Audible? Isn't that what we do?
Well, I mean, we do Audible reviews, but I'm talking about Audible.com. I mean, you're talking about one of the internet's best resources for audio programs from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and even business information providers.
Like over 150,000 audio programs, adding up to over 1,500,000 hours of audio programming. I don't think we're quite there yet.
No.
Yeah, but
we'll get there.
But, you know, obviously you guys like audio. You're looking for new audio stuff to check out. Audible.com has more than enough of what you're looking for.
And we're proud to call them a sponsor. And as a special gift to you, we're offering you, through Audible, a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link on the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus. And by doing so, not only do you get a free audiobook, but you're helping out the site as well.
And we know you want to do that.
Of course you want to do that.
Because we're standing outside your window watching you right now, wanting to do that.
Absolutely. So stop, look, and most importantly, listen to audible.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of Five and Out. I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
And in this week's episode, we look to the sky. We look to the stars. We look beyond the stars. But how? How do we get there?
Steve, we are going to do our top five spaceships this week.
Yes. And ooh. I am so excited to do this top five. But it's a big show. So without any further ado, let's get to the spaceships.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
For the next chapter in Wes's stupid mouth.
Intro these stupid theme songs. It's Wes and his mouth. Doop, doo, 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 doo.
His teeth are a mess. His gums are a mess. He's just a mess. Oh, well.
That's Wes.
Yep.
It's like this big, like, Rolling Stones-esque mouth with, like, blood coming out of it, syringes being stuck in.
So, to recap, for the past year and a half, every few months, I have a different dentist story. And this one is different because it's a periodontist story. And
wait, not to be confused.
With the guy who sticks his penis in your mouth. That's someone completely different. That's what you were confusing with, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. No, this is a gum doctor. And guess what? I'm working towards some gum grafts. But the first procedure that I had done only a few days ago was a frenectomy. And do you know what that...
So no babies for you, is that right?
Yeah, yes, that is correct. I had my tubes tied.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Wes. Bold move.
Yeah.
No more condoms for you, sir.
I wanted to head that argument off at the pass and be like, too late, babe. No kids
nope.
For us.
Can't happen.
A frenectomy, for those of you who don't know, and that's probably, you know, for you idiots out there, is that little connective tissue between your lips and your gums. Apparently there's a bunch of frenulums elsewhere in the body, but this is the one that I had snipped.
Yeah, everyone that's listening just went,
Yep. So my bottom lip and my bottom gums, that frenum right there, got taken down a bit. And that means that I'm on a diet of soft foods, I get random bloody mouth, like this morning.
Ugh.
And, yeah. Like, really gross.
I've never been more attracted to you, Wes.
I know. And, like, I can't brush my front bottom, my front, as opposed to my back, my bottom front teeth.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah. So, if I sound a little different, it's because, the procedure was 3 days ago. So, and they told me that...
If Wes randomly just screams out in pain, I just poked his frenulum.
They told me that the swelling was the worst 3 days from then, which is today, is during our podcast.
Here we are, friend. Here we are.
Yeah, so that's what's going on.
Well, speaking of surgery, for those on the PlayStation Network, there was a flash sale the last couple days. Bunch of stuff for under a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And some kind of junky games, but
sure.
Some okay games as well. Got a couple kind of time wasters. I got Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for like 75 cents.
Sure,
whatever.
Sure.
Play with the wifey on the couch in the evening. Got some Bejeweled, you know, same thing, kill some time. But I also got all five of the Back to the Future Telltale games for a grand total of 80 cents.
And this pisses me off because a mere 8 months ago, I bought it for $20.
But the reason I bring this up is because one of the games I purchased on PS4 for about 88 cents was Surgery Simulator.
Oh boy.
Have you seen any of this, Wes?
I have. And it's a mess.
It is a bloody mess, if you will.
Have you given someone a phrenectomy?
I have not, because I can't beat the first quote-unquote level. It's a heart transplant.
Of course. They want to start you out easy.
Of course. Just work in the minor leagues for a little while, then you get yourself up. So my wife had no idea what this game was. I'm like, and I remembered that I just downloaded it. I was like, oh, Holly, let me show you a little something I've been working on in my spare time. Mm-hmm. I've been going to school to get my doctorate. She's like, what? And she brings up Surgery Simulator. I'm like, dude, like, the guy's like ribs and lungs are exposed. I'm going to grab this hammer thing. I'm like, hit him right in the face. She's like, I can't watch this. I can't watch. It is. And then I went to go grab something else, and I accidentally poked myself on a syringe.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a 1970s music video with all these like colored lights. It's like, I have yet to successfully transplant the heart.
Sure.
And for those who have not seen Surgery Simulator, just hop on YouTube. There are a bunch of really funny videos about it, but I recommend the 10-minute one. It's by the guys at Rooster Teeth.
Mm.
They do a really funny. It's the first level in the game as well, the heart transplant.
Sure,
it's worth your 10 minutes. It's pretty damn funny.
Sure, sure. Well, Steve, I haven't had time for really anything because I've
You've been having connective things in your body cut off.
Yeah, exactly. You'll notice I'm just a pile of sinew yeah. and muscle.
It's you are a shapeless blob. Well
me.
Done.
Yeah. I've had that to deal with. It's the end of the quarter at my day job.
Lame.
That's super busy. I got doing this podcast, obviously.
Lame.
Got the I know. Well, the worst. Doing the radio show.
Lame.
I know. And I'm also starting up my first acting role in a few months this Thursday.
Moderately less lame.
Oh, yeah.
What role are you playing?
It's the bad guy.
Yes.
In an original 10-minute play.
Yes.
So I'm very excited.
Obviously, they didn't meet me.
Yeah, clearly.
Because had they met me, like, oh, no. He's far more bad. Yeah. Wes, you've been moved to hero.
Oh, no. I mean, you basically are the evil version of me.
Yeah.
Just for those of you at home, picture a shapeless blob with a goatee. I brought that up for a reason. I'm going to keep interrupting you point out.
Well, until you think of your point.
Yeah.
Well, you said you haven't played anything. You haven't watched anything.
Yeah, that was my point. I'm so busy. And my friend's coming into town this weekend, so I got shit to do.
Man, you busy man.
I'm a busy man.
Well, what I'm doing on my way to my busyness, I am plowing through We're Alive, the podcast, kind of graphic novel-esque show.
Sure.
I'm plowing
through.
Do
you mean audio novel?
Yeah, but it reads or it listens kind of graphic novel-esque a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's audio. But plowing through that, I'm actually really digging it now. Like over the weekend, I listened to it to and from work, and then on Saturday and Sunday, I was like, kind of want to listen to an episode.
Sure.
I mentioned it last couple weeks, but it bears mentioning again. It's pretty good. I recommend it. And most importantly, you and I together have been playing
Helldivers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fun game.
It is a fun game.
I like it.
Yes. This is one of the first games on my PS4. I'm like, yes. Yes.
Like, I feel bad because you got it, and we played it once. And then my busyness started, and I haven't been able to play it again.
It's okay. I'm going on without you.
I know, you asshole.
Well, you couldn't come over, you busy son of a bitch.
You're leveling up, and I'm going to be a little puny little girl.
It's true. You are, but that's the break. So of those who have not seen Helldivers, it's getting really good buzz on the old interwebs.
Yeah.
And basic idea, if anyone's ever played, like, Smash TV way back in the day, it's kind of like a top-down shooter kind of game. It's not a first person, not a third person. And basically think top-down shooter, kind of arcade-esque, that's Starship Troopers themed, essentially.
Yeah.
It's got a really good sense of humor, kind of like Starship Troopers. And you just run around shooting bugs, kind of like setting up satellites and you can call in airstrikes and stuff. It's very arcade, very fast-paced. But it is four-player simultaneous co-op on the same screen, which is fantastic. Because we always talk about not having a good couch co-op game.
Mm-hmm.
And we played a couple times, and it's a lot of fun. It's a $20 PlayStation download.
You got the full four? Full four players?
We didn't do the... I've done two.
Okay.
But I know it supports four.
Sure. Okay.
So it's a fun time, man. If you've got a PS4, you got a couple buddies, like it's a real good... It's a real good have a couple beers, and mm-hmm. but like, it's not have a couple beers and get sloppy, because the game requires some skill.
Oh, yeah.
Once you get to the higher difficulty levels, it does not F around.
No, what was the highest level that we got? Was it medium?
I think, because we had just started from zero.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to level 5 planet, I think.
Sure.
But since then, since I've advanced a little more, I tried like a level 7
Ooh.
Planet. Whoa, some things are happening.
Sure, sure.
You got to know what you're doing.
Sure, man. Well,
and if nothing else, you get to get inside a mech robot with a minigun attached to its arm and walk around and shoot aliens in the face. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's worth $20. It's worth $20.
Well, speaking of good games in the PS4, I have been able to play bits and pieces here of Shadow of Mordor,
yes.
Which is, I mean, I'm always like a year or two late to the party. I'm like, have you guys heard of this great game called Super Mario Brothers? No, Shadow of Mordor, I'm really digging it. It's for a while, I was getting a little frustrated because I didn't know quite what to make of the captain system and the nemesis system.
Yeah.
I was also focusing too hard on like getting a little too inside baseball on Shadow of Mordor. But now I kind of work through that. It makes sense to me now, and I'm really, really digging it. And I'm really mad to say that my nemesis in that game has just recently been made War Chief.
Good. No, that's excellent.
Well, I'm going to kill him, and it's going to feel good.
And that's why it's so good.
Yes, yes.
Let him rise through the ranks, and then your vengeance will be all the sweeter. Oh, man. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to throw wifey under the bus on this one real quick.
Oh, another wifey
another
under the bus.
Another wifey under the bus.
Oh,
I'm running out of wifeys.
I liked this one.
My wife and I both love shitty action movies.
Sure.
Love them. Especially when we think they're going to be shitty and they're not, like John Wick. One more time, go watch John Wick. That shit is legit. My brother-in-law was in town this weekend and they wanted to watch a movie. And like, what do you think about a crappy action movie? Either the new Dracula shitty movie or Expendables 3. And I was like, whatever. And I wasn't necessarily even in the mood, but I was like, you guys want to watch it? Cool, whatever. When Expendables 3.
Oh, boy.
My God.
I've heard nothing but terrible things
about
this movie.
I love shitty action movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I love them.
Shittier the better.
This movie fucking blows.
Whoa, okay.
It's terrible.
What's so bad about it?
It's PG-13.
Ooh,
for one.
No, you have a movie
starring Dolph Lundgren, mm-mm. Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Obviously, the whole thing is based off of all-time action stars.
Sure.
And you rated PG-13.
No, thank you.
There was an outcry when this happened originally, and I forgot about it. And it's terrible. Like, they drop a bomb from a helicopter, like, on a dude. No blood. There's, like, no blood in this entire movie, period. Guys, like, shooting through, like, they're standing on the hood of a car, shooting through the windshield at the driver.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly he's dead. No blood, no nothing. He's like, "Mow, I'm dead."
Well, Steve, they're shooting him with pillows.
They did have, it was a pillow gun.
They dropped a bomb of feathers on this man.
Damn. The ultra-effective feather bomb.
Yep, exactly.
It is awful. And I swear to God, Sylvester Stallone is just some sort of taxidermied human man. Like, he's no longer an active body. He is just this weird leather puppet that they move around on screen. It is bizarre.
Steve, you gotta stop making me laugh, because my frenulum is gone!
Guys, please. I have a sensitive frenulum right now.
You can't even say it.
Frembrulum.
Frembrulum.
What is it? Frenulum?
It's frembrulé.
Frembrulé. Did you just char the top of it a little bit?
Yes.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Great. Hey, you don't know mouth stuff, and I don't know dentist, or cook. I got it.
Yep. As long as you don't talk to me about, you know, teeth or tongues or taste buds or anything mouth related, I'm fine.
No, thank you. How about a uvula?
Now you're talking my lingety. Oh, those ovums. Which is actually the name of my sitcom. Oh, those ovums. Two ovaries come rolling down the stairs.
Steve, stop it! My frenulum!
Is that Mindy and Cindy? Ladies, are you taking us both to the dance? Oh, you ovaries!
Dude, I know we said it before. Literally, $1 idea. You'll make exactly $1 on that.
And you're just going to give me a pity dollar, aren't you?
Yep. Just a dollar to go away.
Please, never again. In a completely unrelated topic, I have a very important question for you.
Okay.
What is your favorite type of pen? Clicky or regular removal of cap or the twist kind?
Oh, clicky.
Yes!
Clicky all the way.
Thank you.
The removal of the cap, that's just something for your dogs to eat.
Thank you.
Yes.
I got into a heated debate at work today.
What idiot out there?
I know.
What moron? What single-celled organism dares?
That's what it was. I was fighting with microbes. And they're like, nah, dude, you want to get that cap? I was like, microbes! No! No!
Who dares and why?
Yeah, it was a coworker of mine. He swiped my pen, my clicky pen. I was like, dude, give me, I don't want your stupid cap pen.
Mm-mm.
And he's like, it's all the same. I was like, what? What do you mean it's all the same? He's like, I prefer the cap. It's like, then take your shitty cap pen back. He's like, why do you want the clicky? It's like, because I keep the pen over my ear, and I just pop it, lock it, and we're writing, and that's it. And then we're back and retracted and all good. Everything's good.
Pop it, lock it. And we're writing.
That was my failed show. Believe it or not, ovaries did better than Pop It, Lock It, and We're Writing, which was a kid's show eerily similar to the show Ghost Rider. Wow. But it was about breakdancing dudes, and they were like, damn, oh, bring that beat, yeah, and here we go. And then I'm writing my name on my homework as they did, like, sweet dance moves.
Oh, sure, man. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was super fun.
Here's a dollar.
Yay!
Now go away.
I've made so many dollars with shitty ideas today.
Well, Steve, what happened next at work? Did they start playing keep away with your pen?
Oh, no. I stabbed him in the neck with the pen. And I was like, once again, the pop it, lock it, and we're stabbing is way better.
Because if I try to stab you with the cap when the cap is still on, that's just embarrassing.
No, can't have it.
No.
And by the way, poppin', lockin', now we're stabbin' is the worst pornography of 2013, I believe. I think it was voted worst porno of 13.
That was a poor year for porno.
It was, and that was just about the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I know. I think it was because Y2K hit 13 years late.
Pop it, lock it, now with step your power in there. What is this reference?
I think it's been a while since we've had a good Y2K burn. Probably 15 years.
Suck it, porn industry. That's a poor choice of words.
I know.
It's a poor choice
Steve,
of words.
Stop making me laugh.
Oh, my frebulum.
God. Okay, for the rest of this podcast, we're going to be deadly serious.
Yes.
Yes.
Deadly serious.
Now, let's talk about last week's email that we got written in from last week's podcast, which was their superhero make-em-ups.
Superhero make-em-ups. I had a lot of fun making superhero make-em-ups.
I had a lot of fun as well, and I think it's our longest podcast to date.
You know what? When you are crafting $10 million ideas, it takes a bit of time, folks.
It does. It does.
But judging by the amount of responses we got from you guys dug it as well.
That's
so glad
right.
to hear that.
Let's focus on Brian. He writes in, he says he really likes the superhero series thing. It is just harder to respond to. So I took your advice. I asked a friend to come up with five animals that you wouldn't expect to see a hero based on.
Yes.
Here's what he came up and my heroes based on those animals. First choice, cow. His hero, Bovine Bastard. He has four stomachs that give him four times the energy. He uses that energy to prank people. Ultimately, he's a good guy, though. Think like a Deadpool-like hero. Plays on the fact cows have four stomachs and people like to tip over cows.
And that's his kryptonite is being tipped over?
It has to be.
That's okay.
Okay.
And I like that it's the Bovine Bastard. Yeah, because you're like, ah, damn it! Bastard! My house is actually not up for sale at all! What a good prank!
His next choice was the gecko. The friend's choice was a gecko, and his hero was the gecko. He says, think a lamer version of Spider-Man. I love it already. His suit is green. He can climb on walls and see in the dark. Both are abilities of a real gecko. He also has a prehensile tail that can grow back if needed. Kind of a voyeur superhero, if you will. And if he gets caught, he can shed that tail.
Actually, I believe he was the star of Pop It, Lock It, Now We're Stabbing. Gecko Edition, I believe.
That's right.
They
did have one sequel that did worse than the original, if that's possible.
Which was thought to be impossible.
So his next choice was Pig. His hero is Piggy McGee. He is a humanoid pig in a tuxedo.
That is disgusting. That is disgusting.
He is also the head of the Irish mob. He loves to eat, but also is super strong. I'm down with Piggy McGee, man.
Piggy McGee. Man.
The Irish mob specifically.
Wow. Very, very little is grosser to me than a humanoid hog
wearing nice clothes.
Man, but dressed way better than I am.
That's true.
That's gross.
Okay, the next animal.
Why is he Irish?
You know what? Because all pigs are Irish. Don't
apparently.
You know? The next animal is Poodle. His hero is Poodalicious. She is a very skilled, sexy French thief with an afro. Poodles are very athletic and agile show dogs. I'd watch that show.
You know who the perfect casting for this is.
What's her name? Aisha Tyler?
Close to what I was thinking.
Who's that?
But Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
She's already sported the fro in the Austin Powers film.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it? Poodalicious?
Poodalicious.
How close is that to Bootylicious?
That's so true.
I mean, this could just be a... Beyonce could release an album to this,
mm-hmm.
and this is the movie and album accompany one another. Not an official soundtrack.
No.
It's something more than that.
Sure.
An inspiration album.
I like it.
Poodalicious. I gotta tell you, who would you right now, who would you rather have sex with? Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman from Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Hathaway as Catwoman from Dark Knight Rises.
I do love Anne Hathaway.
Or your mental, any way you want to dress up Beyonce from Poodalicious.
You know what, Steve? I'm going to have to say Poodalicious. Beyonce.
You choose poorly. Wrong answer.
No, it is not, because you can't see what I see in my mind.
Tell me about what you see in your mind.
Oh, she's got an afro, and she's super sexy. That's all that's going on
you
in my
are
mind.
That's the lamest... that's why that lock it, pop it, lock it, and now we're stabbing was terrible. Because you wrote it.
That's right. I didn't describe anything.
Tell me what you think Poodalicious is wearing. Booty Tang? Booty Tang. What does Booty Tang wear? Poodle-licious.
I mean, if I'm going to be 100% honest,
please,
I would choose Anne Hathaway as Catwoman because I just have a crush on Anne Hathaway.
Wrong answer.
What are you talking about?
Correct answer is Poodle-licious.
You can't swap answers because I just
well,
love Anne
now
Hathaway,
I've had
man.
Time to figure out what Poodle-licious would wear. Okay. So yes, it's the wrong answer.
What does Poodle-licious wear?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. Put Beyonce in the same exact thing Anne Hathaway is wearing,
yeah.
And she looks better.
I don't know. Well,
yeah,
now you got
you
me.
Do.
You got me thinking.
Put Poodalicious in a skin-tight, like, latex-slash-Kevlar bodysuit thing.
Okay.
Done. With a fro, dude.
Oh, with a fro.
Done.
And she's got that booty.
Yes, oh, and God. Them boobies.
I didn't think about that booty.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
man.
I mean, the sequel will be called Bootylicious, Pootylicious Return.
Bootylicious. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
You've convinced me.
Thank you.
All right. Now, can we move to his last animal, please?
We can.
Okay. The animal was Ferret. His hero was Secret Ferret.
Secret Ferret Man. Secret Ferret Man.
I'm not liking his first sentence. She is this weird-looking humanoid ferret. She is weirdly cute. She is the perfect scout. She's small, fast, and silent. He is also the team's mascot. No, there's some pronoun mix-up going on there. And what team's mascot?
What if there is no mix-up and it is a gender-switching as it sees fit?
Ooh.
Oh, that turns you on? Beyonce in a skin-tight leotard thing doesn't, but oh, a gender-switching ferret-like humanoid creature. Yeah. Tell me more.
That's right up my alley.
Ooh.
Oh, Brian, thank you so much for writing in.
Hold on.
And what?
I'm not done with the ferentine rabbit here. Give me that description one more time.
Okay. She is this weird-looking humanoid ferret.
Okay,
She is weirdly cute. She is the perfect scout. She's small, fast, and silent. He is also the team's mascot.
Yeah, that's going to... I don't know what team. I don't know what team we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless... I mean, I know a good amount about sports.
Is there
don't know about the ferretoids. And what's his name again? Her name again?
Secret Ferret. Kind of like Secret Squirrel, Secret Ferret.
Secret Ferret.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, it's a tough sell. It's a tough sell.
But the gender bending makes it more, definitely more interesting.
Yes, it does. And if it is a secret ferret, perhaps Secret Ferret also can... like collect other people's secrets in some way, perhaps.
Ooh.
Like can fit into narrow crevasses,
ooh.
Like ductwork and whatnot, to okay. to retrieve spy-like information.
Sure. Spy-like information, eh?
Yep.
Like
I almost said spices, but that is not a thing, especially in the context I was trying to use it.
Wow, this podcast, we both talking good.
Man, we some smart motherfuckers.
Are we done with the ferret?
I mean, spicy, feisty ferret?
Yes.
All right. We've got much more show to get to, so we're going to roll right into our top five.
Which is this week? What is this week, Steve? Top five?
Which yep. Shoot your pimp, pimp.
Let me try that again. What is this week's top five, Steve?
We are counting down our top five spacecrafts, whether that be spaceships, some sort of space speeder, whatever you want to qualify as a ship that takes flight in space.
I was going to say, how different can we really make it besides spaceship?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like their spacecraft is more all-encompassing.
Sure, okay.
I mean, I guess if you really like a satellite in some way, you could somehow fit it in there.
Sure, sure.
But nobody likes a satellite more than the five I have picked.
Steve, I hate to do this on the podcast.
You're pooping right now.
I'm pooping right now. I am going to poop on this list. I could not have been less excited to do this list.
Are you? fucking crazy?
I guess. I know it's heresy. I'm a self-proclaimed nerd. I could not care less about this list.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. So, but I did find five ships.
Oh, great. Thanks, Wes. Great job.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm super excited about my five.
Well, why don't I go first?
Fine.
Okay.
So I can poop on your list.
Yes, please do.
God, you're terrible already.
I know. My number five is Battlestar Galactica from Battlestar Galactica.
Well, that's my number four.
Is it your number four?
It is my number four.
Well, Steve, I picked the ship. Most of my ships on this list are smaller, because I like, you know, smaller ships. But this, you can house a whole, almost nation of people in there. It's that large. It has everything. It's, you know, it's got kitchens, bars, like anything is in this ship.
Yeah, that's definitely its biggest selling point. It's large amount of kitchens.
Yeah.
That's it.
Also, it's got a lot of firepower as well. Is that what you were going to say?
No.
Well, what else is there, Steve?
God, you are officially, at this moment, the worst.
Well, it also has hyperdrive.
Oh, you know what? Great. You know what? You are currently talking to me like a used spaceship salesman that doesn't know what he's talking about.
And the paint job is great.
This is what just happened. You just walked me onto the lot of spaceships. On this, your big spaceship used spaceship lot. You're like, hey, what's this? Oh, well, this is, let me read the tag here. This is the old Battlestar Galactica, looks like. Let me pop my head in here. Well, there's some kitchens up in here. There's some kitchens. It looks like this baby will go into hyperspace. That's good. So what do you say, folks? Wrap it up?
Should we talk payment plans?
I mean, how much can you afford a month on a Battlestar Galactica? $200 a month? All right.
All right.
Let me tell you why Battlestar Galactica, why I had to fight to push it this low.
Okay.
It deserves better.
Okay.
Because Battlestar Galactica becomes a character in the show.
Okay.
And it's the old, the outgoing model. The reason that it survives is because it does not have the upgraded computer system to be hacked. It is like, as this show goes on over several seasons, it gets bruised, it gets battered. You don't know if it's going to, it's to the point where you're like, you want the ship to survive, not just for the inhabitants of the ship, but the ship itself in some way becomes this kind of like lovable character as it goes through. You're like, oh, I don't know if the ship can handle it. Like, come on, baby. Just hold together for one more fight. One more fight. That ship has more heart than most characters on the rest of other TV shows.
Sure.
Damn it.
Sure. Fine.
You son of a bitch.
See, Steve, this is probably a really bad list for me because I also don't care about cars.
This isn't about cars!
I know, but, you know, craft that take you from one place to another, I don't give a shit about.
Oh, my God, you're the worst!
I know.
I care very much.
You were so excited about this list, I couldn't say that
earlier.
Oh,
my God. And you got to think about the opportunities that these things, if Wes actually had them, what they would, the opportunities they would provide for you.
Yeah, but then I need to park it in Chicago somewhere.
That, to be fair, that is a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
Not real high on the selling points of the old BSG.
Sure, but, you know, okay, let me, to be honest, there was one ship that I was very excited about, but due to our agreement, I can't talk about Joss Whedon TV shows.
You know what? Fine.
I couldn't bring
it up.
Put
it in there. Bump the rest of yours down.
God,
you can
no.
put it in. Yes.
I don't want
it. So why don't you be excited about something, you son of a bitch. I'm so mad at you right now.
Oh, my God. Okay, what's your number five?
Fine. My number five is something else you don't care about. It's the Normandy, and that is from the Mass Effect video game series.
You know what? I haven't played it,
yeah,
so maybe I would care about it.
So let me tell you why the Normandy is important. Because, once again, the Normandy is also a character within that game. In a game full of really, really good characters. And, again, I've not finished Mass Effect 3 as of yet, but I'm on my way. In a universe full of amazing different alien races, really in-depth other characters, besides Shepard, who you play as, one of those characters is the Normandy. And, kind of spoiler alert, At the end of at the beginning of Mass Effect 2, the Normandy gets destroyed.
Okay.
Right out of the gate. And it's this area that you've called your own for so long, and like the safe spot on these very hostile planets, where you can walk around the different levels of the Normandy and talk to the different members of your crew. Like, your home is now floating away into fiery debris into the great abyss of space. And you have to slap on your emergency helmet, and you're like, and you are then lost out into space while you see your friend being just ripped apart by lasers. You're like, oh, where do I go now? Where do I go? The only thing I had in this whole crazy universe was that goddamn ship, and now it is gone. Like, oh, and it's not just for you. All your other cohorts on that ship, who knows where the fuck they are now, too. Your whole life gets turned upside down because of the Normandy. The Normandy comes back,
mm-hmm.
and she's the fastest, best ship in the galaxy, as many of the ships claim to be. And it's one of the places you spend the most time on in all of the Mass Effect series. And it just looks badass as well.
Sure.
So the Normandy, once again, I appreciate the first two I mentioned here. I appreciate that they are part of your team. They're part of your group. They are a character within their own story, and I appreciate that.
It seems like you personify these ships. You anthropomorphize these ships in your mind.
First two, yes.
And I don't know. It seems like they're just products of the show. Well, clearly, but what I'm saying is like you have these fond memories of them because like they're from good shows or good movies, good video games, whatever. When I did this list, I was just thinking about spaceships as purely functional. And maybe that was my mistake. Maybe that's why I didn't get excited about it. But okay.
And to be fair, if you're taking purely functional, then don't take the Battlestar Galactica.
Hey, you know what? It's big. It can house all your friends. And all their families. And it's got kitchens.
And all the... Man, does it have kitchens.
Yeah, buddy.
So, well, no, I chose a range of things. Well, my first two, they touch... Those are the first two that touch on my... the more ethos part, for sure.
Sure.
But the Normandy is fucking badass as it is anyway. And honestly, it's probably the most badass video game spaceship that I can think of.
I can't even think of... Besides, like, Star Fox, the Ishimura on Dead Space, I can't really think of much else.
Yeah, and to me, the Star Fox is just kind of like it's very X-Wing-esque.
Sure.
To me, so, like, yeah, there's others, but to me, that is by far the best combination of character-driven spaceship and mm-hmm. also just badass functionality-wise, and it's awesome.
Well, my number four... is I was toying with a few ships, but I chose this one because I think it's a road less traveled. I chose the Colonial Viper from Battlestar Galactica. No, there is no. That's the last Battlestar Galactica on my list. But I did it because it looks like and drives like, at least in my mind, it drives like a really fast sports car.
Yes.
But it's also a very badass fighter. Very fast. Very maneuverable. And you know what? It looks pretty damn cool.
Yeah, you know what? It's got the look of like a Marine, you know, or like, you know, an Air Force style thing. But it's also got that kind of little bit of sexiness to it.
A little bit of sleekness.
Yeah.
Is that a new paint job, Colonial Viper?
But it's not like a Lamborghini sexy. It's like, you know what? I know you're still going to blow some shit up, but I know you're going to be good at it.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know what also doesn't hurt? Having Starbuck pilot that shit.
Oh, yeah. If she was a package deal, then my package would be very, very, very happy.
Very dealed. No, it's almost the utilitarian starfighter mm-hmm. kind of, like, does everything very, very well.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the kind of one, like, the kind of starship... It's going to run forever.
Sure, sure.
Oh, did you change the oil? Yeah, I think it's going to run forever.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
problem. Lasts forever.
Sure, sure. And it's not like, I don't want to say one that's on your list, but it's not like a TIE fighter where it's like, one hit and you're done, son. You're blown up. No, this thing can take some damage.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty durable.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Who, if you're going to take someone out of Battlestar Galactica, or, excuse me, what I'm really trying to say, if you're not going to use Starbuck as your pilot for that ship, who would you want piloting your number one ace fighter?
You know, it's been a long time since I've seen that show. So the only...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. If you're not going in, I'm saying cross our galaxies.
Ooh.
Bring me somebody that's not from the Battlestar Galactica world.
Let's go Poodalicious.
Oh, yeah. Damn!
Yeah, I know.
God damn it, that's a good... God.
That's the only correct answer.
That, you know what? You're right.
That's right.
You are right. But the only problem is she's going to have issues getting her space helmet on over her giant fro.
You know what? I think she can pack that away.
You know, she's going to do it. She's going to have a helmet with like a fro compartment in it. It's going to be like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Who would you choose?
Oh, man. You know what? Give me Harold from Star Trek.
Harold?
Harold, a.k.a. from Harold and Kumar.
Oh, okay.
Who's in the new Star Treks.
Okay, sure.
I feel like that dude, he's on point, man. I feel like I forget what his name is, because I'm not a big Star Trek dude, but...
Oh, God, what is his name?
I think he's... And what I really want...
Sulu!
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. What I really want is some sort of android/cyborg dude flying my planes for me. Reaction time, off the charts.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of the best one to be in there.
Obviously, C-3PO.
Oh, you know what? You know what I want? Actually, to be honest, I don't want him in my ace pilot position, but I would love to have my... What's it called again from Battlestar Galactica?
The Viper? Colonial Viper.
The Viper, yeah. I want my Viper pilots. I want them to put R2 in the back like they do on the X-Wings. And then I want C-3PO to be like, oh, dear. But he racks up like 20 kills in the most ridiculous fashion, like making them run into each other. And
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm flying too close to this asteroid. I want them to be my comedic last Viper.
Sure.
That's what I want.
The Mr. Magoo of Vipers.
And I want as soon as they start on the spaceship, it goes...
All right.
It's the Benny Hill Viper.
Oh, of course. Last thing I'll bring up before we move on. The Viper is just such a great name.
It is a great name, man.
Oh, man. It's not like the Blobfish, although...
If we learned anything last week, very powerful ship.
That's correct.
Although I feel like a ship more the stature of the Battlestar Galactica would be the Blobfish.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, you should know right now that I look just like a Blobfish right now. So you should respect me.
Oh, so that brings an honorable mention into play for me, eh?
Yes, that is correct.
It does. And they are just... I have a pretty... generous list here. You know what? This is definitely not something I want to own. I do not want to be in possession of it. To be honest, I don't want to be within a million miles of this ship, to be quite honest. But I would love to give it to my worst enemy. And that is the Event Horizon.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh,
boy.
So this ship is not memorable for necessarily the shape of the ship, the functionality of the ship. The film Event Horizon is scary as shit.
Yeah.
It's a totally messed up, creepy, scary movie. And essentially what happens, though, the entire ship becomes possessed, which is an interesting thing, I guess, in the world of horror, to have a gigantic spaceship possessed. It's interesting to me. So... And in that way, it makes it memorable. It's not one of my... It's not a favorite ship, because, again, I want nothing to do with it. But if I received a letter in the mail, it's like, Steve, I am your great-great-great-grandfather from outer space. I'm leaving you the Event Horizon. Be like, here are the keys. I'd be like, great. Who do I hate the most? Because I'm just going to forward this letter to them. And put their name on it.
Where was that capped pen fellow?
Because after he survived the pen in the neck, He is about to get a far worse fate. That is the Event Horizon.
Wow. Yeah. Like, again, great movie. Super scary. But I can't really remember what the ship even looks like.
I do remember what the ship looks like.
Oh. Does it look like Sam Neill?
It's that with a Velociraptor-esque body on it.
Oh, wow.
Sam Neill face, Velociraptor body, possessed spaceship. There it is.
Terrifying.
It's got a really, like, it's the bridge area. It's this, I don't know. I almost want to say it's like this kind of ball at the front. And it's this really long, narrow, it looks like this really long hallway almost. Okay. It like runs like half the length of the ship in like the back area of the ship.
Okay.
And so it's a very strange design to a ship. And there's just something so ominous and like it is a memorable ship. It's not my favorite, but I just want to, you know, going off the beaten path and just talking about some lesser known spaceships and Event Horizon, absolutely nothing to fuck with.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine being in the middle of a fight with, like, you're outside Battlestar Galactica, and, like, I'm flying around in the Normandy, you're piloting a Viper, we're fighting, you know, generic aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, out of, like, hyperspace, comes the Event Horizon. Like, oh! Ah! No! No, get out of here! It doesn't shoot anything.
No.
It doesn't even have the capabilities to shoot anything.
Yeah.
I would fucking book it immediately. Like, don't give me that mojo. Don't give me that. Oh, dude, I'm gone.
Oh,
I am,
yeah.
Gone.
Sure. Hyperdrive enabled.
Immediately. Like, I wouldn't even clear my path. I would do the Han Solo. I would push that. The stars would come towards me and just hope there's nothing in my way.
You wouldn't even tell people you were doing it.
Nope. Like, Chewie's standing up. I'm like, whoa! And he's like, he flies to the back of the ship. And he comes up, and in Wookiee talk, he's like, man, I thought we talked about this. What the fuck are you doing? I'm like, man, that was the Event Horizon. And he's like, whoa, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for getting us out of there.
Woo, man.
And of course, C-3PO is like, what is the Event Horizon?
Oh, like, shut up, C-3PO.
And then out of the airlock he goes.
Out of the airlock.
See you later.
Well, he's just an android or robot.
He's just floating, annoyed asteroids.
Sure, sure. Well, that's a good honorable mention.
Thank
you. Glad we mentioned it.
In honorable fashion.
My number three, I feel like this is going to be on your list as well, so I apologize.
I highly doubt we have any layover in the next three.
Oh, my God. Oh, my number three is the Millennium Falcon.
Nope.
Because when I think spaceships, I think Millennium Falcon. To me, that is the iconic spaceship. It's the first spaceship I remember seeing. And yes, piloted by, I mean,
one
Hane Solo and Ruchaka?
That's him.
Oh, wow. But again, talking about ships with personality, like the Millennium Falcon, I feel like, is unparalleled, at least for me. And plus, it's got all those cool little spots on the ship to like, smuggle. And it's
smuggle spots, if you will.
I mean, I think I will. But yeah, man, it's purely functional as a spaceship. It's the fastest ship in the galaxy as well. And yeah, I just wanted to throw out the Millennium Falcon.
You know what? Here's a very unpopular opinion.
You don't like the Millennium Falcon?
It's not that I don't like the Millennium Falcon. I always kind of felt like the Millennium Falcon was kind of like, I don't know, like the ugly stepsister to the X-Wing. Like,
really?
Well, just on looks alone to me. Like, the Millennium Falcon is so big.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, I don't know, it's like you're taking a big SUV out into space sort of deal. You're like, yeah, it's the fastest thing in the galaxy. It's like, yeah, but it handles like a hearse, you know. Like, to me, it's so big and it's so round and like totally iconic. I'm not debating that.
Sure,
I'm not debating its merits within the film.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, proven and tested and proven.
It was proven, and then it was tested.
Then we tested that proof. But like the X-wing is kind of what you were talking about before. The X-wing is the cool, like, you know, it looks like a more modern like fighter jet. It looks like a race car.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to make the car equivalent or plane equivalent to the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I don't know. What's that big one that carries people? I know they have different purposes. I understand it. But I always like the X-Wing better because I think it's sleeker. That's the word I come to. It is sleeker than the Falcon.
Sure. I'm going to say the Millennium Falcon does look like it has a couple spork times to each side. But as far as maneuverability, you got to give it to the Millennium Falcon.
No way.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. No way. Maneuverability? Not even close.
What are you talking about?
X-Wing all day.
X-Wing goes in a straight line, and yeah, it can turn. Millennium Falcon could do, like, just on a dime, do a flip and head back the other way. Yes, it can. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Dude, just because...
Why am I getting excited about this list?
Just because a couple of big, fat red sixes get blown up in the trench on the Death Star because they don't have enough sense to... not ride in the trench for like 15 miles before they get to the fucking duct. Because they're like, stay on target. Why don't you use your maneuverability? Stay on target. But this thing can do, I'm dead. I'm dead. And then the Falcon just, you know, apparently no one pays attention to the giant station wagon. This semi-truck rolling in behind. No, semi is not fair. Station wagon is fair. It's like this small SUV compared to the sports car.
How dare you?
I know it is. It's a great ship. I know it. But looking at if you walk on to my used spaceship lot.
Sure.
And you see that big round spork time thing, or you see the fucking X-wing with the wings like coming together and going apart.
Yeah.
It's a two-seater instead of you and your droid. Like, dude, you're trying to pick up the chicks? Don't worry about mom's station wagon over there. Sure, there's smuggle spots.
Yeah.
But come on now.
I will admit the Millennium Falcon, if you tilt it on its side, put a pane of glass on top of it, it's a giant pachinko machine. I will say that. I'll choose a Millennium Falcon because I already got my Colonial Vipers.
See, so I agree with you that the Falcon is, especially the way it is written into Star Wars lore, is a better starship. I'm saying if I'm walking onto a lot, not knowing what like the future will hold or what the past has held for the Falcon, which of the two do you want? Dude, give me that X-Wing right now.
Well, the X-Wing, as you said, is like the sports car for picking up chicks. And the Millennium Falcon, that's for smuggling your family. It's a family vehicle.
Oh, so is that you're a coyote running children and families from Mexico into the United States with a Millennium Falcon?
Yeah, because if I had a spaceship...
Because you can only do that in an SUV or station wagon. You cannot do it in a fancy sports car.
Yeah, so I'm going to use those smuggle spots to my advantage. And when I get that spaceship, that's what I'm going to be doing.
All right. All right.
Smuggling families from Mexico to America.
I can't believe you think it is more maneuverable. If anything,
I think it is.
That thing, you said it's the fastest ship in the galaxy. That's like straight line speed, dude. That X-Wing is going to outmaneuver. It's designed to outmaneuver it.
Well, it made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
Which isn't a thing.
I know.
which isn't
correct.
And not an accurate measurement of time.
Like, you made that run in 12 distances?
What does that mean?
But my number three, I'm glad that it's on one of our lists.
No, absolutely.
The Millennium Falcon.
Of course. I, too, will dip into the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
But I'm going a very different route, Fred.
Oh.
If the Millennium Falcon is a station wagon / small SUV, I am currently... taking the Titanic. I am taking the Executor. Do you know what that is?
The Death Star?
No, the Executor.
Oh, that's the name of the ship.
Yes.
Oh,
it's
no,
a Star Destroyer on complete and utter steroids.
Okay.
It's Darth Vader's personal Star Destroyer.
Okay.
It is enormous. It is probably, like, I don't know, 3 times bigger than a regular Star Destroyer. It is awesome.
I don't remember this. Is this the ship that we see in the very opening?
No, that's a regular Star Destroyer at the very beginning.
Okay.
I think you don't see it until Empire, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe even Return of the Jedi. But I'll show you a picture later. It's awesome. And I learned about this. Here's a little nerd factoid for you. When I was in, I don't know, maybe like fifth grade, we'll say, my friend and I, we played the Star Wars, like, battle card game. It was basically like Magic, but it was Star Wars characters mm-hmm. and different stuff. And that's where I noticed the Executor for the first time, because I was like, oh my god, this ship is so fucking badass looking. What is this?
Yeah.
Then we'll look back at the movie, it's like, oh yes, there it is. So essentially, like, you know, Star Destroyer. You're thinking of your battle on Hoth. You know, they're pelting the ground from their, you know, their comfortable space digs.
Yeah, they're pelting pellets.
Throwing some pellets down out the windows, yeah. Hoping it gets there.
To feed the wampas, you know.
I read in Star Wars lore that entire planets would fall to the Empire just knowing that the Executor was in their galaxy.
Whoa!
Because
really?
Apparently the galaxy can just get into orbit of any planet in just a barrage of bombs and laser strikes, and just can turn the surface of any planet into just utter rubble in a day. The whole thing.
Holy shit, dude.
So this is not nimble. It is not fast. It is not maneuverable.
Mm.
But I imagine me sitting in that little Darth Vader pod thing, and I just go, where is that pen in the neck, fellow? His entire planet will be reduced to rubble. Out of starboard, let's fire, just odd number cannons. And then I'll just destroy everything.
Wow.
It is just, like, their Star Destroyers are super badass on their own.
Yeah,
they're super badass. And I'm just going to take the most badass of the badass and just take whatever I see fit.
Why does Darth Vader always have the same ships as everybody else, but just so much more badass?
Well,
with Star Destroyers, with TIE Fighters.
Yeah.
Remember Darth Vader's TIE Fighter?
Oh, yeah.
The only one that's not made of paper mache.
I do.
It's like, why didn't every other TIE Fighter have the shields, like, curl around the body? That seemed like a no-brainer.
I would love that, like, they made just that one, and all the TIE Fighter pilots, like, well, I'm going to get it. No, I've got most seniority. I'm going to do it. And one guy's about to get in there, and Darth Vader opens the door. He's like, oh, Lord Vader, yep, everything's, it's all clear. It's all clear in here.
Yeah.
Step right in, sir.
Yeah.
Darth Vader obviously just throws him out into space.
Oh, of course.
Of course. That he throws him into space. This is what Darth Vader would do if I were Darth Vader, which is a horrible proposition.
Yeah.
I would put a little breathing apparatus on him. I would throw him out into space, and then I would fire all starboard cannons on the Executor on his floating body.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ammunition.
It is, for a worthy cause. It sends a message, Wes.
Don't fuck with my starship.
And my frabellum.
My frenelobellum.
Frenelobellum. Oh. So my number three is the Executor, a.k.a. Darth Vader's personal ultra-steroided Star Destroyer.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, that brings me to my number two, which is, let me know if you know what this is from. The Milano.
The Milano.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, obviously, this is from Charmed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah?
The Star-Lord's ship.
Yeah.
Named after Alyssa Milano.
Is it really?
No kidding.
Really?
Yeah, I looked it up today, so I was like, oh, what is that ship? And yeah, a little trivia for you there. Apparently, he named the ship after his childhood crush, Alyssa Milano.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, that was an honorable mention of mine as well.
I just think that ship looks cool. Of course, I love the Guardians universe as well. But the reason why it made so high on my list is that it's just a flying bachelor pad, dude.
Yes.
It's got everything you need, right?
And it's probably the only spaceship in the galaxy with a cassette player in it as well.
And that's badass, too.
It is badass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's I think it's a nice, let's say, like, middle-sized ship, let us say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bigger than your traditional X-Wing TIE fighter.
Sure.
But we're definitely not going into, you know, Battlestar Galactica territory here.
No, no, no.
Yeah, it's, you know, and nimble enough firepower.
Oh, yeah.
Can be piloted by just one man.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, man.
Or you can have, you know, four of your closest friends.
Yeah, that's it's an overall good ship.
It is.
It's a good ship. And you got a couple different levels in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's basically like a flying small condo.
Yeah.
That also hauls ass.
Yeah. And, like, for some reason, I don't know why. Maybe it's because, like, the other ships I've mentioned are pretty iconic. I feel like you can alter the ship a lot more. Like, you can put in a bar.
Sure. Yeah.
You can really make it a bachelor pad.
It feels a little more homey than the others. And there's just the outside chance. Like, as you have the ship, you're like, perhaps the other Guardians of the Galaxy will show up?
Maybe.
That'd be great. Zoe Saldana, where you be, girl?
Oh, yeah.
You come on in here.
She's starring in Poodlelicious 2. You just got poodled.
You poodled again. You know what? If Beyonce turns down the role, I will gladly hand it over to Zoe Saldana.
Sure.
And by the way, this went from being a dollar idea. This is... I'll give it $150.
$150?
150 big ones, man.
Wow, okay.
I think there's something there.
Okay, well, Brian, we'll send you $150 and you make that. Or you're looking at me.
Don't you send him $150.
Oh, wait. No, Brian, you send us $150.
There you go.
Got it.
There you go.
Okay, well.
Okay.
That's my number two.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what's going to wipe yours off the map is my number two. Completely destroy it. Just... mercilessly destroy it.
Okay. Sure.
And mine is, I will tell you what it is, and you tell me what it's from.
Okay.
Mine is the USS Vengeance.
I think it's from Star Trek.
Which one?
Vengeance?
Ah!
Star Trek, The Next Generation.
No.
Star Trek, the original series.
No, it is the most recent one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, okay.
Into Darkness.
Okay.
This is the one that Benedict Cumberbatch, it's the one that he pilots at the end.
Man, that name is so hard to say.
When Benedict
Cumberbatch. You have a little mush mouth, which I have right now.
You have seen the most recent one, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. It's a very good movie.
It's good.
The new two Star Treks are excellent.
There was one thing in the newest Star Trek Into Darkness that bugged the shit out of
What's
me.
What's
that? Spoiler alert for this happens at the end, so if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Fast forward a couple minutes. I hated the fact that Spock yelled Khan. It was so out of character for him, I felt. And I know they were just doing it because Shatner yelled Khan in the first one.
I disagree with you. Obviously, that's part of it.
Mm.
But I also feel like it was it's kind of the moment where Spock goes more into his human side there as well.
And I get that. I get that, but it's just like, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It really just came out of nowhere.
It did feel a little forced. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I forgave it, but it did feel a little forced.
I was like, I don't know. It didn't ruin the movie for me, obviously,
right.
But I was
right.
Like, why the hell? You could have cut right before it. It would have been just fine.
So the reason that the USS Vengeance makes my list is because, in general, again, probably an unpopular opinion, I think the general design of Star Trek, of the Enterprise, mm-hmm. is kind of stupid looking.
Okay.
The giant disc.
And this is Steve Puddlefingers.
I know it's unpopular. I'm aware of that. I'm a Star Wars dude, not a Star Trek dude. And I think the Enterprise looks weird.
Okay. You can Steven Puddlefingers. You can email him at P.O. Box 168, Chicago, Illinois.
The things that I dislike about the Enterprise, they reduce them for the USS Vengeance, which is the Dreadnought series.
Okay.
They make it black, which immediately makes it fucking cooler.
Yeah.
Because it just looks sharper.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they bring down, like, the neck area of that like, to the disc, to the main body. Like, everything just gets, like, tighter in the ship, and it looks awesome. And the main reason it is awesome is because the whole thing can be piloted by one person.
Yeah.
I don't need a crew.
Sure.
If I want to have some other people on, great. Plenty of room for you. But guess what? This is my personal ride.
Sure.
And it's like, and I love that they, again, spoilers for Into Darkness, as they, like, we got to get out of here. Get to hyperspace. And then they're like, oh, by the way, new technology, didn't tell y'all. I can follow you in hyperspace.
Oh, that's so true.
So they're flying through space. I'm like, oh, dudes.
Yeah.
I'm right here. So sorry. So again, and I'm also, so one of the differences between the Executor and the USS Vengeance is that I will have the holodeck that Star Trek has, which is so much better. So then I can just go down onto a planet. Be like, hey, look, dudes, I need what I need down here. And like, well, no. Be like, okay, I'm just going to hologram myself back up to the main deck here. And by myself, I'm going to fly this thing down here and ruin your day. And by your day, I mean your whole planet.
Yeah.
Dude, unstoppable one-man ultra warship.
I don't think you're using the term holodeck correctly. You're talking teleport?
No. No, it does teleport.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to hologram myself.
Yeah.
I meant to say telegram. Okay. Telegram myself. I'm going to write myself a letter.
I'm going to send the people of the world a couple telegrams.
It's like, dear Wes, stop. I require the use of your planet. Stop.
Wow. This
Please
telegram.
Comply within 5 to 7 weeks of receiving this telegram. Stop. Yours sincerely, Steve Kahn. Stop. Is that from Steve Zahn? No! Steve Kahn!
So you're going to telegram yourself back to that.
Yep. Fold myself up into a little envelope, and it'll make it a singing telegram.
Yeah.
Well, I need your planet from you.
Very scary. Very scary.
So, dude, all the powers of the Enterprise, but it fucking looks way better, and I can do it all myself.
Well... Okay, well, this ties directly into my number one, which is the Enterprise.
No!
It is! Because I don't really care about the ship. I don't care about Star Trek that much.
Oh, it's a good thing we're doing top spaceships then.
Yep. I'm doing it because it has the holodeck and the, I think it's called the replicator, where it's like a 3D printer, but anything you want, like including food. So it's like, I'm going to party.
Really? What is your deal with kitchens and food on your spaceships?
Because I can be like, hey, Replicator, why don't you print me out a pizza and a six-pack? Because there's going to be a party in the holodeck.
Battlestar Galactica, first thing about it. Well, it's got a whole bunch of kitchens. First thing about the Enterprise, I can 3D print food.
The first
what
thing.
The hell?
Okay. I may be really hungry because I've survived on soft foods. That may be a factor in this. But yeah, man, the replicator and the holodeck, fuck yeah, man. You don't need anything else.
Well,
if I had those two things, I would cease to be a member of society.
Which you would just kill. Well, if you would have to have some society because your stupid Enterprise needs an entire crew to function, whereas my Vengeance does not.
I'm going to park it somewhere. Like, probably the Target parking lot across the street.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going to just replicate anything I need, and I'm going to... I have all the society I need in the holodeck. So, yeah, man.
I appreciate that the Enterprise also has character to it as well. The Enterprise is a character within Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. But it just... I mean, we're talking about how sleek... Like, the Viper looks and the X-Wing.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Enterprise just is an... It's kind of just an awkward shape to me. And it doesn't seem, you know, like, I don't know, like, sound structurally.
Sure.
Necessarily. And I'm sure Trekkies out there are like, well, that's because this part can be, like, they can release the whole top part and it can float away as, like, a safety lifeboat, essentially. We're like, fine. That's all well and good. I don't care. I want my shit looking cool.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm walking onto the lot, the used spaceship lot, telling you right now, the Enterprise, you'd be like, was that thing in an accident?
What? Is that some kind of modern art thing?
What? Is that a statue on the outside? What? Oh, no, that's for sale. To fly? Certainly not.
Yeah.
Certainly not. And it comes with this little Scottish dude inside? Actually, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I like that. I will say the crew of the Enterprise, if it's coming with, that's a plus. It is
sure,
a plus.
Sure. But then you have to share holodeck time, which I'm not okay with.
You are obsessed with the holodeck.
Hey, man, you could do anything you want.
All right.
You could have superpowers in the holodeck, Steve. You could finally be a superhero
okay.
inside the holodeck. You can have sex with Poodlelicious and Poodlelicious 2.
Man, that is a selling point.
Yes, it
all
is.
All right, now we got to figure – it's a trilogy now. We got to figure out – so Beyonce, we couldn't get the contract done for the second one. She didn't sign on. Zoe Saldana was all over it.
Sure.
All over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think that this is a trilogy that we went Godfather. Mm-hmm. 1 and 2, lights out. 3,
I think we're going to have to go with Aisha Tyler. It's going to be a much funnier, almost like a Star Trek 4 kind of deal, where it was hard-hitting and dramatic. Now it's like funnier comedy type deal.
Almost buddy cop-esque in a way.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite hit quite right, though.
No, exactly.
Because, unfortunately, Eddie Murphy somehow got a role.
Oh, no!
Yeah. And actually, Eddie Murphy paid us to be on the film. No. We're like, well, okay.
I guess.
I mean, we're done with 3 anyway, so whatever.
So, yeah. I'm saying Aisha Tyler.
I like it, because I'm actually surprised I'm surprised you went that route, and I went this route.
Hmm.
I said we go Kate Hudson, and it becomes a musical.
No!
Anyway.
Oh, God.
That brings us to my number one. And I don't know if you even know what the fuck this movie is.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie Flight of the Navigator?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
It's a mid-80s kind of Disney family-ish movie.
Sure, I've heard of it.
The actual name of the ship is a Tremaxian drone ship.
Yeah, I would have guessed that. Yeah,
and there's the part of the ship that the computer part that talks to the boy. His name is Max.
Okay,
and I loved this movie as a kid. Loved it. This is one of the VHSs where you wear it out. Yes, I'm 30. Okay, I watch VHSs. Deal with it. So I wore it out. Basic idea of the movie. Young kid, he's 10, 12 years old, whatever. Kind of he's in the woods with his brother. He falls down, hits his head. He wakes up. It's 8 years later. His family's grown up. And he's what the hell has happened? Turns out that this alien race grabbed him, abducted him, and they said that the human race only uses 10% of their brain. So they filled the other 90% with all these star charts and maps throughout the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spaceship comes back down. So it's a spaceship with a personality. And actually the guy that does the voice for Pee-wee Herman is the voice.
What's it, Paul Reubens?
Yeah, Paul Reubens is the voice of Max on the ship.
Okay.
So it's the ship calls the kid the navigator because he has all of the charts in his brain.
Sure.
So they start basically going on becoming friends, the ship and the kid, and in one of the all time adorable space creatures, because he says Max the ship, he says he's been going out to different planets and grabbing specimens or whatever, and there's this little tiny, I don't even know what the name of it. He's not quite as cute as Gizmo, but he's a super cute little thing, whatever it is.
Sure.
And you're oh my God, I want one of those things. They're the best. So it becomes the government and NASA is trying to capture this ship and the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid is just trying to find his parents. And it's a great, great movie that I'm definitely going to show my kids when I grow up. But the ship itself looks like this. I don't know if this makes sense to anybody else, but I had a Nerf football when I was a kid. It wasn't regular football shaped, and it's kind of modernized football that when you threw it looked like a turbine flying through the air.
Sure.
For some reason, it looks, if I were to dip that in chrome, that's kind of what this spaceship looks like. And no one on Earth could open and figure out how to open up this door, because the front door of it was basically a T-1000, but that didn't open until the navigator walked up, and it went bloop, 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 and made stairs so he could get inside. And then went bloop, 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 bloop. And so it was this completely sealed, there were no seams or gaps on this whole ship.
Wow.
And it was probably the size of a big boat, a medium-sized yacht.
Sure.
It's probably the size of it. So kid gets in, and Max flies it around, and then he's all right, well, you're the navigator. Why don't you fly? And so you fly it with, like, on your right hand and your left hand, these kind of, like globe-sized orbs underneath your hands. So, like, there's this great scene of him, like, flying through the clouds and, like, flying down right above the ocean, you know, like, as he, like, skims waves with this giant ship. And, like, so the ship becomes your friend. There are these other cute, adorable animals within the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and nobody else can get into it except for you. And it can go anywhere in the universe.
Steve, there's one huge thing missing from your ship. A kitchen.
There are, to be fair, there are some drawbacks of Max.
That's right.
And it does not have great food prep. At least the counter space, poor. Poor.
Does it have a holodeck?
Does not have a holodeck.
Ooh, two big things against it.
This definitely is just a childhood pull.
Sure, sure.
But still, this spaceship holds up.
No, I like it. I like your pick.
And you know what? After thinking about this list, I was like, you know, man, I got to go watch this movie again. It's like 20 years since I watched this movie, and I loved that movie. Because actually, Wes, you and I, since we are doppelgangers in some bizarre way, I'm the evil one.
Yeah, yeah. Both shapeless blobs now.
As a 10-year-old, this kid looks eerily similar to the both of us, I imagine, as a youth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. When you watch it, let me know, and if I can, I'd love to come over and watch it with you.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite childhood movies, and it's a kick-ass spaceship.
Awesome, dude. Well, my top five in review is my number five was Battlestar Galactica. My number four is the Colonial Viper from Battlestar Galactica. My number three is the Millennium Falcon. My number two is Milano from Guardians. And my number one is the Enterprise, but really just for the holodeck and the replicator, because, boy, we're having a party.
Number five, the Normandy from the Mass Effect series. Number four, Battlestar Galactica from, you guessed it, number three, the Executor from Star Wars. And if you're not familiar, just look at the artwork of the Executor. It is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the USS Vengeance from Star Wars Into Darkness. Or, excuse me, Star Trek Into Darkness. And number one, the Trimaxian Drone Ship, a.k.a. Max from Flight of the Navigator. So thank you guys so much for listening to our top five spaceships, our favorite spaceships of all time. We love, love, love to hear your guys' top five. So we look forward to hearing the spaceships that we missed. And if you have any top fives that you would like to hear us do in the future, by all means, please let us know. We would love to do those as well.
Because we take all of them and we put them into what we call the top five archive, where we can pull from whenever we wish. So, guys, you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com. There's so many other spaceships out there that we didn't get to mention, so please write us in with your top fives.
Absolutely, and thank you guys so much for listening. We very, very much appreciate it. And as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out!